My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Oh, hello, Wednesday. Well, aren't you just the peak of the week? The big hump, if you will. If you really want to enjoy hump day, then do as Jamie and Lisa. Greet each other with a hip thrust instead of a how do you do. Bow, chicka bow, chicka bow, wow, wow. Now let's get on with this, shall we? The Halifax Daily News. With Jamie and Lisa.
That's right, it's Garbage Day in the GBA, the Greater Beaverbank area.
That's
it's Jamie
right.
and Lisa with the Daily News.
Hey, and it's Compost Day, too, so just remember that when you're headed to the curb today. You know what? The city is dealing with some real garbage problems this year. As winter turns to spring, the snow banks are melting, and now we have discovered that there's a lot of people out there who weren't picking up after their dogs this winter.
Oh, yeah. I've discovered that in our own backyard. It's amazing. Those huge snowbanks that we had over by the end of the fence.
Oh, they hid a multitude of sins.
Well, they weren't snowbanks.
Oh.
They were covered in snow, but now the snow is gone and there are still banks there.
Well, and the city is finding a lot of dog poop along the sides of roadways this year. An unfortunate feature of the winter to spring transition. But the city has launched its spring cleanup efforts, and crews are going around the sidewalks, the parks, and you're going to be seeing the big trucks there, the sweeper trucks, making their way through the city streets as well. But I just love the people who bag the dog doo and then just toss the bag. Not in the garbage, but at the side of the road, or in the ditch, or any place but the trash can.
I often thought, 1,000 years in the future, some archaeologist is going to dig up our stuff. And say, wow, this must be important, because they put it in a non-biodegradable plastic container. Mm. Let's just open it up and see what's in.
Ooh.
Perfectly preserved. We are taking the most biodegradable substance ever and putting it in a non-biodegradable plastic bag and then throwing it into compost. What?
Well, you're
what
not,
are we doing?
You're not suggesting that people shouldn't be picking up after their dogs.
There's a difference between picking up after your dogs. As you say, there's a difference between scratching your arse and tearing it all to pieces.
Amen.
Pick up after your dogs, yes, but then dispose of it somehow or whatever. And we're guilty. We go to the dog park and we fill up those drums with our bags of dog poop. But we get the biodegradable bags.
That's right.
You can get biodegradable bags. And don't worry, they're not going to biodegrade on your way to the garbage can.
No. The 6 feet it takes you to poop and scoop and to put it in the can, it's not going to disintegrate in your hands.
And the people that think that they're being environmentally friendly by reusing grocery bags to bag their dog poop, well, I'm using this, I'm recycling. It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
You are sealing dog poop up in a tight little container. That's better than a time capsule.
It's hermetically sealed for all of eternity.
Thousands of years from now, people will know exactly what your dog ate last night.
Boy, we should have been having this rant yesterday, Earth Day, as opposed to today, but better late than never.
Yeah, it's the day after Earth Day. This is the crap. This is shit day.
Earth Day followed by shit Wednesday?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Speaking of that, can I throw the Trailer Park Boys review in here? Are we allowed to do that yet?
Oh, let's do it. We went out and saw the new Trailer Park Boys movie yesterday. Trailer Park Boys, don't legalize it.
What did you think? We've decided as we were driving home,
right,
we're not going to tell each other what we thought of the movie until we did the podcast.
Until, yes.
So here we go.
You know what? I liked it. It wasn't bad. I think the characters are starting to lose some of their charm. I don't know what it was about the early episodes that just made them so charming, but it just isn't the same on the big screen.
Although, towards the end of the movie, it got a bit sentimental, just like the show used to do.
Yeah,
I like that.
The same formula is there, and that's good to see. I enjoyed watching what has happened to the characters, what's transpired over the years.
They're so old. Trinity, little girl Trinity, she's a grown woman now.
Exactly.
Now, of course, I speak as an insider, being on an episode of the Trailer Park Boys myself.
Yes. Care to tell us which one?
Yeah, of course. Are we all sitting comfortably?
Sure.
I was the voice on radio. I know, typecasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Voice on radio in the Alex Lifeson Rush episode, the most famous Trailer Park Boys episode ever.
Well, I'll tell
and
you.
And I was on that one.
Yep,
so.
That is one of the more predominant ones there in the history of Trailer Park Boys, so absolutely.
Well, you know, it's difficult for me to make a review of this movie because the reason I got on the Trailer Park Boys is I used to work with Mike Clattenburg back on Eastlink days. Mm-hmm. And we knew the Trailer Park Boys. They came in after their first season, and we interviewed them on Q104.
Tell you, one of the most precious pictures of Bronwyn that I own is Bronwyn being held by
bubbles.
And she's about, I want to say, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so we go back, and they're great guys. Like, seriously, every single
absolutely.
One of them, just wonderful guys.
Salt of the earth.
And, of course, John Dunsworth. He was my first agent when I came to Halifax.
I'll tell you,
there
is nobody on the planet who plays a drunk as well as John Dunsworth. I will say that after watching this movie. He is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
The best drunk I've ever seen.
And he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink at all?
I don't think so.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I remember back when I used to do the bed-in for Feed Nova Scotia at Micmac Mall.
Right.
This is when I still worked at Q.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guests that were lined up to come visit me while I was, you know, laying in bed there in Center Court.
The entire city was lining up to sleep with you, Lisa.
Oh, no. But anyway, he came in character. And so as he is coming down the escalator, he's got his pants practically hanging off him. He's carrying a bottle inside a brown paper bag. And he was stumbling and fumbling about so much that mall security actually followed him down and then tried to escort him out of the building. It was hilarious.
That is funny. Another Trailer Park Boys story. When we were visiting my family in Edmonton,
mm-hmm.
we read in the paper that a couple of the Trailer Park Boys
yes!
were going to be visiting a mall. And we thought, that'll be neat. Let's go to, it was Londonderry Mall. I said, you got to check out this mall. Let's go. And it was lined up all the way down the mall, down the middle. And so we get to the front of the line and look, and there's Pat Roach and John Dunsworth,
mm-hmm.
also known as Randy and Mr. Leahy.
Yep.
And they looked at us and they went, hey guys, how's it going? Like, only Nova Scotians would be so friendly. And they took a break. They put the sign out there and said, hey, let's go talk. And we went around the corner and we talked for a little while. Of course, they were on a tour, an autograph signing tour across Canada. What are the odds that they're going to run into somebody that they know from Halifax?
Exactly.
But
it was great.
That was a terrific time. So,
back to the movie.
Yeah, having said all of that, I kind of agree with you. I felt the same way I felt when I saw Escape from Gilligan's Island. Do you remember? Was it Escape from Gilligan's Island? It was the years after Gilligan's Island ended. They did a made-for-TV movie
mm-hmm.
where they got off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Then they ended up getting back on the island, I think. And the whole time you're looking at them saying, oh, look how old Gilligan is. And, ooh, the professor, he's held up well. And basically, it was you're sitting there and judging every single character because they changed so much. And the plot was okay. Just like the Trailer Park Boys plot was okay.
Now, see,
the
plot.
It was like a good episode of the Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah. And I think they didn't really aspire to be anything more than that. I mean, they just wanted to make a really good, extra long episode of the Trailer Park Boys. There were a couple of sort of subplots that were going on. I mean, the main plot was Ricky trying to get to Ottawa.
To legalize. Oh, no, to not
stop,
legal.
Exactly.
To stop legalization of marijuana.
He was watching his empire shrink away.
You know what I like, though, is they brought everybody back. With the exception of Ellen Page, who probably would have cost the farm and a few farms anyway. They brought everybody back.
Yep.
You know, even Cyrus and Sam and all these characters that you remember from the show. There they are.
They were there.
Yeah. So that was good to see.
Yeah. Not enough J-Rock-isms. I was really hoping for more J-Rock-isms. He's in the movie, but not as prominent as I would have liked to have seen.
I honestly think Jonathan Torrens, his J-Rock, lost something.
Mm.
I hate to say it. I mean, he's big. He's doing his own thing. And I absolutely love Jonathan Torrens. I really do. And I love the outtakes from the first or second season of Trailer Park Boys DVD. His J-Rock things. But really, yeah, it was almost a stereotype of J-Rock. It was like somebody else doing a J-Rock impersonation. Yeah. He wasn't funny.
He had his moments, but I would have preferred more J-Rockisms. I think I would have preferred, like you said, the outtakes from from the DVD. I mean,
well, if there were outtakes, it almost looked like back with the show, there were a lot of outtakes because he'd just roll and they'd be. But I don't know if this was because this was film or because of the budget and the lighting and you stuff. Know, it was almost like he was hired, he did his lines, and that was it.
And maybe that's why it didn't have the same feel. Because, I mean, it had a big budget. It was on film. It wasn't done like
directed
the TV
by Mike
show.
Clattenburg.
Oh, and certainly, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, it was true to the original. But I think the basic bottom line is if you have enjoyed the series up to this point, definitely go and see it just to see the progression of the characters.
Yeah,
to check in on them. Exactly, to
check
in. And of course, you got to have a look around for all the background scenes and try to pick out, you know, where it was filmed. Oh, that was filmed over on Pleasant Street. Look, I can see the A&W there. You know, that
How
kind
many
of
people
thing.
Did you recognize, too?
Oh,
it's like,
Lord.
Oh, look, there's like everybody from Andrew Gillis, who we used to work with
That's
in radio.
That's right.
Was he playing a cop or something?
No, he was playing a paramedic.
Jim Nunn.
He
was playing a senator,
has
I do believe.
A fabulous role.
Yeah. I mean, it really is neat.
Yeah. Nancy Reagan.
It's a who's who of everybody in Halifax. So that's worth it, too. But.
Yeah.
Really, do you pay the money to see it in the theater, or do you get it when it comes out on Blu-ray? Because I bet you there are going to be some special features as well.
Ooh, good point.
I don't think it's necessary to see on the big screen.
No.
But on the other hand, what else is there? Once you've seen Captain America, there's not much else out there right now. So, yeah, Captain America and Bubbles.
There it is.
So all in all, what do you do? Big thumbs up, thumbs down? Do we give it stars? How are we rating things?
I don't know. You want to do five out of five stars? I'll get 3.5.
I'm going to rate it in terms of the candy bar and the service at the candy bar. You remember last time we talked about Noah, and it was the charging 99 cents per layer
of
butter.
Butter, yeah.
This time around, the guy actually let me go and layer my own popcorn with the golden topping or whatever they're calling it, which was good. And my cup was a bit leaky. And he stopped me and he goes, oh, hang on, let's double cup that because it looks like that might be dripping a little bit. Thank you very much, sir. And I thought, okay, that's good. So big thumbs up for the Trailer Park Boys movie because they were great at the candy bar.
Okay. Plus,
yes,
he reminded you that we didn't pick our candy that we were allowed as part of our package.
You're absolutely right. Now, you know what? That kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
Gives me a big thumbs up.
That's right. That is the Dartmouth Crossing Cineplex.
And you know what else is nice? They have the corral there, which I used to hate.
The corral. Oh, yes.
You have the bank line where you go and wait for the next available person. They've taken that down at the one in Bayers Lake. And I don't know why, because now you get to pick your line. And half the time you pick the wrong one. You get one slow candy girl and you're sitting there for years and a day. They have Frogger in the lobby. That was a big thumbs up, too.
It's all about the total experience with you, isn't it?
It was. All in all, you know what? Not that bad of an experience. I like the Trailer Park Boys.
Speaking of movies and movie stars, might want to keep your eyes open in town for Cuba Gooding Jr. He is around filming the Book of Negroes miniseries. Just landed, I do believe it was yesterday morning. So if you see a guy floating around and you go, gee, that guy looks like Cuba Gooding Jr.
Probably is.
Bit of a shocker for some homeowners up Kingston Way in the Valley. They got home last Wednesday, around 2 in the afternoon. Well, they found a couple having sex on their bed and the smell of marijuana in the air. Yes. Can you imagine walking into your own house?
Imagine. I used to live in my fraternity.
this wasn't a frat house.
Oh, that was a regular occurrence.
Mm. RCMP say they arrested a man, 23 years old, of no fixed address, and a 17-year-old female inside the home, and the break and enter is still under investigation. No word on charges. Well, I think the homeowner wants to lay some charges.
I think the guy who broke in wanted to lay something, too. And he was.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey, I want to send a shout out to a couple of people. First of all, a big hearty podcast hello to Perry Faulkner.
Oh?
Perry Faulkner is the owner-operator of Pet Ride Halifax, and bumped into him at Shuby Park the other day. Huge fan of the podcast. First of all, I'm glad that he found us. Glad to have you on board. And just to let you know that Pet Ride, it's a really cool service that he offers. He does a lot of runs to the Metro Emergency Animal Hospital. And basically, if you can't get your pet to the vet or make the transfer from the animal hospital to your normal vet or to the groomers or wherever, he does that. It's like a cab service for pets.
Anytime, night or day?
I think you just have to make the arrangements with Perry. Yeah,
That's a great idea.
It is. Fabulous idea. He's doing very well. It's called Pet Ride Halifax, if you're interested.
And since we're sending shout-outs, I'd like to send one down south, way down south.
Okay.
To Shannon Ash Fox, who wrote on our Facebook page,
yeah,
just found your podcast. I'm in Tasmania.
Get out.
Stoked to hear those accents again.
Oh, fabulous.
Shannon, thank you. Thank you so much. Spread it around. Let's make this thing international. We will personally put Halifax on the map, one podcast listener at a time.
Exactly. Play it for all your friends in Tasmania so they can laugh at the accents, okay?
You know what? This is a bit of homework for those of you that are listening to the podcast and you're not in Halifax. Mm. Go over to our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook first.
Halifax Daily News.
And then tell us where you're listening from.
Yes.
That would be really neat. I would really love to hear how far away a lot of these people are. I know that we have a lot of people in Alberta on the rigs. There's one in Tasmania. I know they're listening in Scotland.
We need a map of the world. We can put little pins in it.
Just take them out of that voodoo doll there that you have of me.
I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Darcy Oak. Might not know much about him right now, but I guarantee you're going to be hearing about him in the future. He is Canadian, and he is competing on Britain's Got Talent, causing a bit of controversy there because, A, he is not British, and...
And B, he has no talent.
Well, no, that's not it at all. Oh. Apparently, he does a fabulous act using magic and doves. But it's the reason that he's doing this, that he's auditioning and going out for this competition that makes him quite inspiring. He's from Winnipeg, and again, he caused some controversy in the UK because he's both a foreigner and a professional entertainer, which are both sort of no-nos, I thought. And some competitors and fans thought that only amateurs from the UK should be given spots on the show.
Makes sense.
It does. Well, those fears were put to rest, or that criticism was put to rest, once he amazed the audience with his sleight of hand tricks and certainly broke their hearts with the story. Now, the cool thing about Darcy Oak, his dad is Hockey Night in Canada's Scott Oak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, neat.
He's there raising the money in the name of his brother Bruce, who died of an overdose of painkillers. And I guess he had some mental health issues, became addicted to drugs like heroin and crystal meth. And he's raising the money for a memorial fund started in his brother's name, and it's going to help those struggling with addiction. So we'll keep an eye on Darcy Oak as he makes his way through Britain's Got Talent and let you know how far he gets in the competition.
And since we're shouting out, another big shout out to the man who is doing our intros. He did another great one this morning.
Yes.
Film director and producer extraordinaire Max Speed, who is a local beaver banker.
Yeah, going to get him on the show next week, I hope.
As a matter of fact, his parents, that's Heartland's Quickway and Wilson's in Beaverbank. That's his parents' place,
isn't it? It is indeed, way up the Beaverbank Road there, 2409 Beaverbank Road, just past Kinsack.
Tell you what, if you're in the Beaverbank area, anybody listening to this podcast, and you're low on gas or whatever, why don't you fill it up there at the Wilson's in Beaverbank, and then go into Heartland's Quickway and buy something.
Anything.
Or just say that you heard about it on the podcast.
Tell them the podcast sent you.
It's just our way of thanking Max Speed for doing all of these intros and doing all the great things that he does for
Absolutely.
Us. Absolutely. And once again, the Beaverbank Bunker will be graced by the presence of one Harv Stewart.
Yes, we're going to be chatting with him tomorrow, finding out about the end of Harv Sportsland and what he's been up to.
You don't want to upset Dexter again.
I know. Find out a little bit about the history of Harv Sportsland and some of the behind-the-scenes stories that have never been told.
Oh, and speaking of which, I have to make a correction. Yesterday I said, gee, the last time Jamie, Harv, and Lisa were together, that was on Q104 back in the year. We've been together since then, but just not in front of a microphone.
No, exactly.
Usually it involves a lot of beer, sometimes some munchies and hors d'oeuvres, but usually just a lot of beer.
Hors d'oeuvres. Since when are nachos and cheese strings hors d'oeuvres?
All that is coming up tomorrow on the Halifax Daily News.
Until then.